What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome once again to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. Tonight we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw for August 28th, 2017. With me as always, Mr. Raj Geary and Mr. Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing good. What's up, guys?
Not much. Raj, how's stuff going?
Doing good. It feels like it's been a while since the three of us have been on. So
like a week since SummerSlam. I know. Time just flies by. Right. Tonight, so much to talk about. Monday Night Raw. We're also going to talk about Mayweather versus McGregor, Sexy Star injuring Rosemary, and Mr. Matt Morgan further diversifying his interests. Lots of stuff coming up tonight on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. So to start with, let's hit Monday Night Raw and talk about the opening segment, which was The Miz coming out, accompanied by The Miztourage, interrupted by Kurt Angle, and talking about a defense of the Intercontinental Championship for next week on Monday Night Raw. The challenger was determined tonight in a 15-man Intercontinental title battle royal, with The Big Show, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Finn Balor, Jason Jordan, Apollo Crews, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, Kurt Hawkins, Callisto Goldust, Elias R. Truth, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows. And the big news is that Jeff Hardy's the new number one contender for the IC title. Matt, do you think this is smart use of Jeff?
Absolutely. He could definitely be thrown in the main event picture, but this is a good thing for Miz. It's good for the Intercontinental title. Great for Jeff. I think it's great for all parties involved, minus Matt. And it is what it is. Jeff's a humongous star. And tonight's reaction, I was like, when they both came out, I was just like, wow, are they over the Hardys already? Like, this is impossible. The Hardys are like the Beatles. You know what I mean? They always get pops. But tonight, it was less. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is good timing to get him the freak out of that tag team and get him back to that singles, picture for him, I think it makes, God, Raw's going to be so good. You know what I mean? Like from the last hour, it should be really good going forward.
And real quick, just, sorry to cut in, but I'm getting word here that it looks like Xavier Woods got injured at tonight's SmackDown live event. Looks like he hurt his knee during the spot. Ref did the X, and he was carried to the back by Big E, Kofi, and the referee. The match quickly ended after that. So, wow. I sent it to Mark. He's getting something on it, so that we should have something on the site here in a couple minutes. But yeah, hopefully he just tweaked it, and it's something minor. But we'll keep you updated.
Absolutely. So yeah, the Battle Royal.
Real quick. About Jeff. Matt? Do you think this was because the title shot is not at the pay-per-view. It's next week on Raw. You think this was just just kind of a way to kill some time for next week? Just give Miz something to do since we got a month until the next pay-per-view? Are they starting to break him off?
I'm hoping they're starting to break him off, obviously, but that's a good point you just brought up. I thought it was on the pay-per-view for some reason. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if it's on Raw next week, you could be right. It could be like a one-month story, even the half-a-month storyline or whatever have you.
Right.
Just to get Miz through. But I hope not, because it's only going to help Miz, because he is so good on the mic, and he's really going to shellac Jeff on the mic, which is going to make Miz even look like a bigger star. you know, seriously, like he did to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan did good in some of his rebuttals, but I'm sorry, he got owned by the Miz, and it made Miz look even bigger, like a bigger star in the process. And yeah. And Jeff, nobody sells like Jeff Hardy. I'm telling you guys, God, he's such a good seller as a babyface, and he automatically gets sympathy in 2017, which is next to impossible because we told the whole world this is a work. But Jeff does it, and he's better served as a singles act for them. He just is.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when he won, I was like, hopefully, man, I was thinking hopefully Jeff Hardy wins the title next week. And that really kicks off the singles run. And, you know, then they could go with the rematch at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you heard the pop that Jeff got. The Hardys have already gotten stale pretty quickly. A lot of that has to do with the booking, the way they're booking the tag teams. They did it tonight with Rollins and Ambrose. So, yeah, I hope it is. It kind of leaves Matt out in the dark. You know, without the whole broken thing, this, you know, I just don't see much of a singles career for him. But Jeff is a star.
Can't Matt do anything at all remotely similar to the character at all?
I think he can. I mean, he was teasing Woken.
Woken, I know. But like, not even rhyming, I'm saying. Just hey, I'm Matt Hardy. You're not labeling what's happened to him. You know what I mean? He just starts acting differently.
Goofy.
Yeah. Well, everyone will get it. They'll be happy they're getting it. They won't care about how he got there.
I don't know. Or it could be something that WWE just doesn't even want to touch it, you know?
The whole arena chants the stuff. Like, it's amazing to ignore it.
I don't think they get it. I think they'll make him goofy and they'll put him in a feud with Goldust. You know, I don't think they'll understand.
Yeah, I just don't think they see him at that level. You could tell they see Jeff more at that level.
They definitely.
Yeah, the only question.
Quick note, I thought, you know, Jerry Lawler hasn't been on commentary in a while.
Yeah.
thought it was a big improvement.
It absolutely was. A million times better.
And it must be said, thoughts with everyone in Texas and what they're dealing with. I mean, it seems kind of amazing, you know, flipping after Raw back onto the news and seeing what's going on there. And it's just amazing what everyone's dealing with there. So that Booker T was with his family in Houston tonight, preventing him from being at Raw.
Yeah, we have one of our writers is in Houston. Davari. Davari?
He's
in Minneapolis right now.
Yeah, he moved for his school. I apologize.
Yeah, but Bruce Pritchard, a lot of guys are out there. So yeah, our thoughts are with him.
A friend of mine has been
sending me a bunch of pictures. It's just insane what's going on out there. Wow. I think it's still raining out there too. It's not stopping.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, and I have friends that's trying to get out of there. I had a friend on tour. His flight was delayed, so he's just volunteering. Basically, he's there for the next couple of days and just helping out with the efforts. It's really nice to see everyone coming together at least.
Shelton Benjamin lives in Houston, so. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he'll be able to make SmackDown tomorrow night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
His debut, re-debut.
So speaking of debuts tonight, Enzo Amore as a cruiserweight.
We called this, I bet you, before anybody did.
Yeah.
I guarantee you we did. We called this like a year ago even, if you remember. Well, we're saying, where would he be best served? He's screwing up in the ring a little bit. He's not getting better. He's still money on the mic. He's over, though. And we were like, I remember like yesterday, we said like, what does a cruiserweight division need? You kept saying it, Raj. Like, it's not going to last. The purple ropes or like the automatic turn the mute button on or change the channel for most fans. So what can they do differently? And I remember you saying like, they need to interject some character. We need some character development in the division. We're going to get that with him. Yeah. He's going to be botching and screwing up spots galore, but the guys that he's working with are so good that they're going to be able to cover up, and especially Neville. Neville's reaction was awesome.
Man. Yeah, because I got to say this, I thought this was probably the worst cruiserweight match that they've had on Raw in a long time.
Easily,
probably since they started the division. But Enzo, he's just got so much. You know, he's so charismatic that it just makes up for him being there. It adds definitely a big spark. But I don't know. I don't know how much good it does when he hasn't been able to get a lick of offense in months. And now he's like the top contender, you know?
Dude, Vince don't care. That's yeah. probably like what he's trying to do, if anything, I would bet.
You Vince is thinking, hey, I can bury Enzo and the cruiserweights at the same time.
All
at
once, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Enzo versus Noam Dar. Enzo got a win over Noam Dar.
And Neville, yeah, is that Enzo 2 weeks in a row with wins?
We folks, you've heard it here. You heard it here first, folks. There is an Enzo Amore win streak upon us.
Yeah. Oh, I watched that. I caught up on everything on Saturday when I got back, and I could not believe just Cass having to tap out of the match midway through last week. That was nuts.
That thing he does, and I do it too for a missed spot, but then I started changing it to the missing a clothesline and then flipping myself over the top rope and then falling and selling my knee. It's a risky move when you do the running boot and then completely wipe out, and then you've got to nut yourself or pretend you hit your hamstring on the rope and then take it, bounce over properly like you'd be thrown over the top rope in a battle royal, let's say, and then fall down and hold your hamstring or hold your knee, that tweak it and sell that. Every time he charges and misses, he kept missing like the apron and just catching it at the last second and never falling properly. And it was only a matter of time before, you know, love handles Kaz, tore his knee. You know, I've been being serious. Like, you got to be careful of this stuff as a bigger guy.
How much pain do you have to be in? I mean, we hear all the stories. I mean, look at Sami Zayn with the shoulder or Finn Balor with the shoulder or these guys that made it through the match. But for Kaz, I mean, I was surprised just watching it back how halfway through. He's just like, no, I can't do this.
I wonder how that worked back in my day. Oh, my God, how much heat I would have had if that happened to me. Like, I remember I got a concussion once, dude. A stinger. Okay, a stinger. Big Show just was eliminated from the match. He was tagging with me and Brock one night in a six-man versus Billy Gunn and Bob Holly and somebody else, maybe Kurt Angle. And so when Big Show got eliminated and the ropes were shaking like crazy, I then got clotheslined over the top rope. But because the ropes were shaking so heavily from Big Show being eliminated, my head, as I flipped over the top rope and I'm upside down for that half a second before landing on the outside on my feet, got snapped in the back of my head by the bottom rope still shaking. Those are helicopter cords underneath there.
Yeah.
You know, those are stiff. And it knocked me out, and it gave me a stinger when I came to. When I came to, I had a stinger. I couldn't feel the left side of my body. Brian Hebner comes out and is like, dude, do not move. He goes, you have a stinger. And I'm like, I didn't know where I was. And I had heat with the veterans in the locker room because I couldn't finish the match. Meanwhile, the match was over. Brock went in the ring and F5, I believe it was Bob or somebody, and 1-2-3, the finish was over. That was my elimination out of the match to get out of the way to go into the finish. So I did finish it, but I had heat because of it. Such bullshit. And now it's a different place and a different time, thank God. And that's why I think the younger guys are in a great spot right now. We're going to eventually see some good young superstars emerge as the next Cena or as the next whatever. I don't know who it's going to be, but they're in the right environment for it, that's for sure, because of bullshit like that not happening anymore.
So speaking of the Big Show, what'd you think of Big Show Bundy tonight?
I didn't think I would like. I thought he looked good. He did King Kong Bundy. That's pretty good. It made him look younger.
Yeah,
you know,
it did. Yeah, he younger. I mean, his face doesn't look that old considering all the stuff he's been through, but
And mind you, he also, you know, we always call it, what do we call it? Like Andre had it as well. We always call it like giantism, right?
Right.
Or in reality, all it is what? They have a, what do you call it on their
pituitary gland, right? Yeah.
A tumor on their pituitary gland is what it is. And you can get this, Big Show got the surgery to remove it so he can live a longer, healthier life, because usually you die early because of it. But he still has the growth. You know, in the forehead, right. You know, and the things, the hands, the feet.
Yeah, it doesn't undo the growth already done, right?
Right, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. So amongst all of that, and still coming out looking, you know, having a baby face, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
That was the point I was trying to get to, beating around the bush for 10 minutes. Sorry.
No worries.
I can't talk shit. I look horrible without a beard. Oh, my God. I look like I'm 10.
So Brock tonight, Heyman in the ring, announcing. Looks like it's going to be Braun and Brock at No Mercy.
Oh, it is. They announced it.
Yeah.
If you guys could have your way and you didn't have to do the show, wouldn't – I can't believe I'm about to say this, but wouldn't you fast forward through that, just like the Paul Heyman speaking part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman's
gotten – I
found
myself wanting to do that.
Yeah, he's gotten so redundant that I think Lesnar, that one sentence he did, just completely out, you know, overshadowed the 10-minute Heyman speech. You know, that was almost all you needed. I think it would have been more effective. Lesnar got in the ring. Just Heyman's that. About to talk. Lesnar just takes the mic, says that, and they leave. You know.
100%.
So. Yeah. Man, I love Heyman. I think he's great on the mic, but this this promo has just been going on for too long, and it's way more effective, Lesnar just saying a little bit, than Heyman's same spiel.
Yep.
Yep. So speaking of too long, the segment that never ended, Seth Rollins versus Cesaro, going into Sheamus versus Dean Ambrose.
Okay, you didn't like the first singles match, though?
It was good. It just went on. I mean, like, it was at the point where it was like, this is a really long match. And then after, when they were like, and now we're going to do the opposite, it was like, please let it be a squash. Just please let Sheamus take it right in the grill and end. But no.
You know what? This reminded me of preseason football, where it just doesn't mean anything. It's just killing time. You don't care who wins or loses. They just kind of – they completely outdid one or the other, so no one really got over because they beat each other. And it was just – it was just killing time. It's like preseason football where the win doesn't mean anything, match doesn't mean anything. There it was. It was good. I mean, I thought Rollins and Cesaro are great, but man, if you could just throw some sort of stip, anything to make it interesting, to have a reason for it, as opposed to this is what you do with every tag team feud, is have them wrestle in singles matches forever. You know, I would have preferred that.
Yeah, just something just to mix it up a little bit. I mean, the wrestling is great. And, you know, I even like seeing the guys. I mean, Ambrose and Rollins as champs. But I think this is just placeholder. This is literally running in place.
Yeah, it's back to my preseason analogy. You could have a great football game, but if it's a preseason game where it doesn't matter, you know, there's only – you can only get into it so much.
Yeah. Oh, Matt's
muted. Matt, can't hear you. You're on mute.
Sorry about that. Yeah. A lot of people on my Twitter feed and Instagram, I noticed, were like, oh, it's week zero of the NFL season. I was like, am I missing something? Is it because it's preseason? Is that why they're saying that?
Probably, but preseason started a couple weeks ago.
That's what I thought, too. I didn't understand the meaning, but I was like, I don't care. It's not a real. It's not the real week one. I don't care.
Right, yeah. It starts, is it a week from Thursday, right? Or no, is it a week from Monday? I'm forgetting if it's
September something. I forget.
Yeah, 2 weeks from tonight, or I think it's September 11th. So
yeah. Who's your teams, by the way? I'm a Cowboy fan. Who you guys like?
Broncos.
I always play as Green Bay when I play Madden or 2K football.
So is that your way of saying you're not an NFL football fan?
I follow wrestling, Matt. I like my sports predetermined, you know?
No, so NFL season starts Thursday, September 7th, so a week from this Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, in 2 weeks, it's going to get – the competition's going to get hairy. But, you know, they got some big stuff lined up right now. They got two WrestleMania matches, you know, at their B show. So,
yeah.
Strowman, Brock, and?
And Reigns and Cena.
Oh, duh, yeah.
Yeah, both looking good, right?
Great, and Cena. We'll get to it.
Yeah, but before that, so Emma versus Mickie James.
Yay, Emma getting on TV.
She's getting on TV a lot, but is it the right kind of exposure? I feel new theme music. That's something
You can look at it both ways because look at Curtis. They called him Curtis tonight, by the way.
Curtis Hawkins.
Curtis Hawkins. he got over tonight. That was an example of when the office was like, hey, you just need to maximize your minutes, as Jim Ross used to say. Do something to get yourself over. He got over tonight. Even though, when that was written out for him, it was, dude, you're getting jobbed out immediately. As soon as ding, ding, you're being thrown out by everybody. They're going to gang up on you and throw you out. So he had the smart intelligence to go, guys, give me 2-3 seconds to put myself over, a la Barry Horowitz kind of, sort of, and then you guys all shake hands. And he got over. So tonight, with that's an example of you can get over even in embarrassed, what could be perceived as an embarrassing booking or being made to look foolish or lose or whatnot. So I thought she, in that spirit, I thought, you know, she got TV time. It means they're digging her, you know.
New theme music, new entrance music. Yeah,
that too. That helps.
And, it means something.
Mickie James getting promo time, which that's first time I can remember in a while.
She used to be, I mean, I'm not saying she's not good. Mickey's a good friend, like my wife, one of my wife's better friends, you know, of all time. And I hate saying this about her, you know, but when she was in OVW, go back and watch on YouTube her promos. She was such a little spitfire babyface on the mic. She was so good. And I don't know what they've done. Maybe her time away. I don't know what it is. Maybe not getting enough repetitions in lately. I don't know. Mm. But it's not the same Mickey that I broke into the business with, listening to cut these great promos and making people care about her.
Well, look at the material she's given. She's talking, you know, having to make hashtag puns and, you know.
She's 100% memorizing it. You can see it.
And it's, so it's not like there's much you can do with what they're given. But Emma gets the win. Dana Brooke, you know, her boyfriend passed away last week.
Dallas McCarver, man. Huge name in the bodybuilding industry, by the way.
Yeah, that dude was gigantic. Dana Brooke was back in action tonight. She wrestled on Main Event.
Oh, wow.
So she's already back. So, you know, good for her. I hope, you know.
Dude, you don't miss time. I'll put this in perspective. I was in India wrestling for Ring Cut King. Okay, Jeff Jarrett's thing, whatever you want to call it, startup company he was looking to run over there. And it should have, I thought that was going to be very successful, by the way. Anyways, I was their champion. I was their first champion, and I had to drop the title to Magnus. It was very important that happened before we left back to America. Okay, and my father passed away of a brain tumor way quicker than we expected. My mom called me and said, "We basically have 48 hours, Matt. You got to get home." And I chose something I still kind of regret to this day. I chose to stay there to do business because I knew how important and everybody were counting on me, even if something as small as Rinka King. So,
wow.
Wrestlers, I hate to say that we're not human, but you're trained to be not human. You're trained to be robotic and press, punch the clock in when you check in, you know what I mean? And nothing gets in the way of that, you know, not even deaths.
Yeah, I mean, JoJo, her sister passed away just, was it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And she missed Raw that night, but she's already back, you know. I think she was back last week, right?
I'm glad they gave her off at least for that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. On a much kinder note, John Cena versus Roman Reigns tonight. Contract signing for the match at No Mercy.
I'm not letting that go. Well, how is that a kinder note?
We were just talking about death and the loss of a family member and having to work through it.
A lighter note, you mean, right?
Yeah, kinder. I mean, kinder, lighter. Someone interested, but it's a kinder note. Dude, you know, it's like a little more uplifting. Like bringing it down. I was going to do the ad, and I was like, no, because DDP is going to be like...
Do you ever hear that famous Casey? What kind of depressing shit are you putting me on after?
that Casey Kasem famous drop where he's yelling at his engineer, saying, "Don't give me the goddamn dedication to the dead dog coming out of an upbeat song and going into an upbeat song." You know?
Yeah,
I'm just saying. A little, you know, let's try and lift everyone back up.
Let's get back on track.
And if someone's going to look, actually, you know, speaking of John Cena, did you guys watch the video? The cricket thing with all the kids and the people he inspired.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I was telling you guys a few weeks ago, a lot of John's stuff is a work in real life. I believe that with all my heart because I know John. But, I mean, he has to be human somewhere in there. You know what I mean? A lot of the guys would call him Robo Cena.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any real emotion, it feels like, when you get to know him. But I don't care who you are. You had to have broken down in real life for that, like... Oh my God! Like those little stories were just like I was in tears. I'll be honest; I was really touched by that.
Yeah, I mean it was an emotional video. It's on the site. Just do a search for John Cena cricket emotional, and it'll come up. But yeah, it was something.
Yeah, it was very good, and I think tonight we saw more of the John with the spring in his step. You know, this little. Bender that he's been on lately, you know, being a little funnier, being a little more meta. I mean, this is a little more lampshading John Cena.
I think he was annoying though. What was it, 2 weeks ago?
That's what I thought.
When he was like, "Come on, I want the Beast Boy to keep going around." No, you don't, John. No, you don't. They're ignoring you. They're saying, "John, you don't like that, you liar."
Yeah. But tonight, talking about breaking the fourth wall, even. I mean, look, I thought against Roman. I thought tonight that was. Great promo.
It was.
Fantastic. This was the best thing on the show by far.
Yeah.
And I thought this was like a WrestleMania. Yeah, by far. What was even close?
I'm a Miz Mark. Okay, maybe I overrate him.
No, I thought this was, I mean, there was so much reality that it really blurs the lines to where you don't know if Roman's really pissed at him, if there's really some heat there. I mean, you know, that's what, when wrestling is at its best, it's when you're not sure if they hate each other or not. And those lines are
blur those lines.
They did that. And I thought that was just awesome. Cena was just on fire. It reminded me a lot of ways with his promos with The Rock, where they would just go at each other and start getting really personal to where you don't know what's scripted.
Real,
yeah, exactly. When they're going off script, like Roman looked like he forgot a line, you know, Cena gave him crap for it. And then Roman got some great lines. This was probably Roman's best promo in a long time.
You know what's crazy is, like, he always talks about him being his locker room. And I read that on reports and stuff. I'm going, you guys create, this is John's locker room. It will be John's locker room until he officially leaves for good.
But how active is John in the locker room, I wonder? Because
with one snap of the fingers and one phone call, hey, I don't like this guy, bury him.
Okay. Sure, no, for sure. But I mean, like, how much does he interact with the other guys?
Nobody.
Right now?
Oh, I see. That, you know what? That could be the difference, obviously, because Roman is definitely much more liked. There's no question about that amongst his peers. Yeah. They all respect him and like they love him.
Yeah,
he's supposedly a really cool dude.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything really negative about Roman. But Cena was awesome in this promo. I think, you know, his rebuttal at the end, he won this, you know, face off or whatever. But I thought this was great stuff. And this just to me was a WrestleMania match. I don't know if it's one of those things that they don't know if Cena will be around WrestleMania time, or they're just hell bent on Reigns versus Lesnar that they got to do both these matches now, or this is just the beginning of a series for both. So.
Do them both a world of good if this is a series, because they've got so much material to work with.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Lesnar and Taker, when Lesnar ended the streak, that became a series of three. I remember Batista beat John Cena at SummerSlam. Everyone was like, that's a WrestleMania match. And then they did the rematch at WrestleMania where Cena came back and won. So doesn't necessarily mean this is it. I'm sure they'll probably milk it more, because it's too big of a match not to. But Cena definitely, he definitely owned Reigns tonight. But, man, this got me. I mean, No Mercy, I don't know what you guys think, but this is right now my second most anticipated pay-per-view of the year.
I was going to say it's already going to, I have a feeling, going to be the best pay-per-view so far of the year. We haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah. I mean.
It could be.
What's Finn Balor doing? Do we know yet?
Probably Bray Wyatt again.
Okay. I know you guys, I don't know if you got what you guys remember about that, but I liked it.
Yeah, that was fine.
Oh, and you know, I didn't mention this earlier, but in the Rumble, Bray's thing in the Rumble earlier, that was the best use of Bray's in and out,
right? Yeah,
thing in quite some time.
No, really?
Yes.
You don't like that?
I don't mind if the lights go out or something, but when they do the video packages, it just seems over.
That's true.
You know, but anyway, it's nitpicking, I guess. But
I feel like Taker kind of owned the lights out chime. You know, I think they have to differentiate it a little bit.
If you don't have special powers, you can't turn the lights out. Like, even when Sting would do it WCW, I never understood. I'm like, he doesn't have special powers.
But you can have the video come on?
That too.
Or maggots in the ring? Well, I guess he just knows someone in the
truck. Knows someone in the truck.
Too. I agree with all of that.
Someone in the truck, yeah.
I agree with all that. I thought it was cool, but that was me really suspending my disbelief.
Well, it was good, because I think Finn, I mean, they really set it up like you were thinking Finn was going to win that. So I think
I thought they set it up that Jason Jordan was going to win it. Because he's had the thing with The Miz. That's why I think the fans really popped when Hardy won, because it looked like it was going to be Jordan. Like it was designed for Jordan to win. But, you know, I could see Finn too, but it definitely, I thought it was going to be Jordan winning.
So they have this face off and Cena and Reigns tonight. And then they say, hey, let's turn it into a tag match and have Gallows and Anderson come out, call them nerds, and then make Reigns and Cena.
I missed that one part.
Yeah, you did call them nerds.
Did they chant nerds? Did the fans chant?
Oh, I don't think they chanted it. Did they, okay. Rush?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Oh. Good. It's getting over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you say something long enough, it'll catch on, I guess.
It is amazing how the stupidest things after a while, you just, I think it's that you just know it's coming, you know?
I remember no. And yes, I thought that was stupid as hell when it first came out with Daniel Bryan screaming up and down. No, no. I mean, it's kind of funny, but when it started getting over, I was like, you gotta be shit. This is getting over? You guys are chanting this crap?
Right. Well, it's like the people's elbow. Right? Like how over that got, and it looked so stupid.
I remember hating it at first too as a fan. I was like, this, nobody would be beat by this.
Right. Yeah, it was really really pushing the limits of suspending your disbelief. But
he got smart about it though, and he started doing it with the after the Rock Bottom at least.
Yeah.
You know,
when the guy was out.
Yeah.
There were some good moves though in the Cena and Reigns versus Gallows and Anderson. There were some good spots in this. The choreography I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, they must have changed plans at the last minute because the plan earlier was for Cena to face Samoa Joe tonight.
Oh wow!
So, really?
Yeah. And they had Cena and Samoa Joe had worked events over the weekend. They worked Friday and Saturday and
oh wow.
I think it's Friday and Saturday Raw events with Cena pinning Joe. So yeah, that was supposed to happen tonight, and it looks like a last minute change.
That's such a cool thing for me to see, like to hear though that those two are working each other. Like how they both started out together. You know what I mean? And where they're at now, that's pretty cool that Joe finally got his opportunity and got it. You know.
True, yeah. But you know this is designed to get Cena over.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. Hope so. I'm sorry.
What did I miss with Joe? Did he do something?
No, he wasn't on at all tonight.
Why?
I have no idea. He was supposed to. He was, you know, earlier today. PW Insider reported that, you know, him and Cena was scheduled for tonight and never happened. They didn't. I don't think they mentioned his name the whole show.
I hope he's not hurt.
Yeah, I hope not either, because he didn't wrestle last night's Raw live event. He had been wrestling Cena all weekend, and Cena worked with Bray Wyatt last night. So
something's fishy then.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on
find out and check out on wrestling.com.
Yeah. Yes,
absolutely.
Sir.
So even though we're almost through Raw, folks, so much to talk about tonight. But first, I want to thank the sponsor of this episode, which is Diamond Dallas Page and DDPY. If you haven't heard, WWE Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page is celebrating his Hall of Fame induction with the DDP UK tour in September. This is an inspirational Q&A and conversation with DDP, and it's going to be in Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. And if you saw his Hall of Fame speech, you know he could tell some inspiring stories. You can also experience a DDPY DDP yoga workshop in Harrogate, Glasgow, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. Go to DDPUKTour.com to reserve your spot and find out all the details. And we've got a sale for you on the DDPY DVDs and the DDP Yoga Now app. Of course, it's used by the likes of Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, Mick Foley, Goldust, and tons of other WWE stars who've gotten in shape, turned their health and lives around using DDP Yoga. And the app has everything, including 150 workouts live from the DDPY Performance Center, cooking shows, motivational messages, and much, much more. Right now, you can get the app and the DVDs for 20% off. To take advantage of the summer sale, go to ddpyoga.com/wrestlinginc. Use the promo code SUMMER17, that's SUMMER17 at checkout, to save 20% off. And we thank Diamond Dallas Page and DDPY for sponsoring the podcast.
I would do that so much better. I would do that so much better than you.
You are free to any week, sir.
I'm joking.
I mean, next Monday.
Speaking of which, Matt, you know people have used DDP yoga. What have they told you about it?
James Storm. Cowboy James Storm. Redneck as can get. Wearing his booty choking, nut hugging, tight as held cowboy jeans. Okay? I watched a TNA one day before his match. He was going to do like a promo, an in-ring promo. So he was dressed in really nice clothes. Doing a freaking handstand against the wall. Dude, what in the hell? First of all, how did you learn to do that? And second of all, like, that's not like tearing your shoulders apart. Like, my shoulders are tearing watching you do this, bro. And he is like, no, dude, I've been doing DDP yoga now for months. And it's like made me super limber. It's made me super agile. And he's like, I feel like I got another half an inch on my super kick, honestly, because my groin is now constantly stretched out more. All my muscles are lubricated from the stretching you're getting done with this. And I was like, no crap. And then I see Chris Daniels doing it. Stevie Richards was doing it for a while. Everybody, like, I want to say, like, at least half of that locker room was. AJ was one of the first ones. It's pretty impressive. You know, I need to be doing it, quite honestly. It would help with my posing on stage because one of my weaknesses, my back tightens up on me. And this is something that loosens up your back. And I should just get around to contacting him and getting it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think, you know, we see all the stories from the fans, the wrestlers. I just always say, look at Goldust when he was in Impact. Look at Goldust.
Look at Jericho. He thought his career was over.
Yeah.
He's probably the best example, honestly, because you're exactly right. Where he's at age-wise, more importantly, miles of wear and tear on his body. Chris worked a hard style of psychology over his years, right? Especially when he was a cruiserweight, you know? And look at him. Like, look at the matches he can still have right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Something to be said for him, man.
Definitely.
So tonight, Elias in Memphis. debuting a song.
Can I say one quick thing about him in the Battle Royale?
Whatever you want, Matt.
When Big Show was doing the shh and then the chop spot, did you see Elias waving his finger to the fans? No, don't shush. Go back and watch it. I popped for it. It told me the dude's comfortable in the ring.
Yeah, he's coming around. I'm coming around on Elias.
Yeah, same here. You know what part of it is? They're putting more effort into the songs that he's doing.
Yeah, I thought the song was great. I thought the Heath Slater stuff was stupid as hell. But
absolutely.
But who would have thought a Southpaw regional character would show up on Raw and get no pop?
Oh, not silence. Me. Definitely not me. That was the worst character they could have brought, other than the Cruiserweight guy who plays...
TJP.
Other than him.
Oh, yeah.
Other than his character. But, like, Gallows, for instance, oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
that would be... need to have Tex Ferguson make his debut. We got to see Tex Ferguson.
Why didn't those two interrupt Cena and Reigns? That would have been amazing.
How much more comfortable does Anderson look in that role, by the way?
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Anderson looks comfortable as it is.
He looks more charismatic, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
It's
sad where they're at right now.
Although they had a cool reunion thing that almost happened. That was pretty cool. In the Battle Royal with Finn Balor.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it was good, man. There were quite a few good moments in all of that. So, Pelvis Wesley lost his Monday Night Raw debut to Elias.
He got his ass kicked, too. They treated him like, you know, like
they treated him like Heath Slater.
Yeah, he was like back to his pre-Rhino days.
Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You had an opportunity. He's had opportunity. It's what you will.
No, absolutely.
You got Jinder as WWE champion, Drew McIntyre as NXT champion, and Heath Slater as Pelvis Wesley.
Getting squashed. He's squashed by Elias.
He had an opportunity. He was a tag champion, and I'm sorry. You get a title on, you know what I mean? I can't say I was a former WWE champion. You know what I mean? Like, that's a golden opportunity to take advantage of. And you do or you don't. Shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, well, as soon as they came to Raw, they were buried quick. They were never really even given a chance. They got no TV time. You forget they're on Raw.
Yeah, absolutely. So after that tonight, we got to the main event. Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the WWE Raw Women's title. And, you know, if they didn't say enough during the program that Sasha's lost every time she's defended the title, that's why she was a four-time champ. They proved it out with Alexa Bliss becoming the new Raw Women's Champion. So, booking and the match, Matt, what did you think?
Match was ridiculously good. So good. The falsies at the end were phenomenal. Both of them had such incredible chemistry together. I'm praying they stay married together. I really do. But, oh, my God. What do they do? Why does she always have to drop the title right away?
It makes. I felt like they kind of buried her here with that.
Definitely hot potato crap again with a title.
Hello?
Matt's frozen, but in a very good screen grab.
Yeah. Hopefully we get him back. That is a great screen grab.
That's a great screen grab. That's the thumbnail of the episode.
All right. I mean, if they haven't learned their lesson from Bayley by making her look like a loser, losing constantly, Alexa Bliss, you know, that kendo stick match, whatever that she had, and then they do it to Sasha. They make her look like she's a loser. They make it a point to bring out that she's never successfully defended her title. Then what do? They have her lose it right off the bat. It's stupid, in my opinion. It just buries your baby faces. And I know they want to go with Nia and Alexa, but at least you could have had Sasha defend it against somebody this week. Have Alexa ask for a rematch clause and then go on to it in a couple of weeks. But I thought they made it look stupid.
Yeah. Matt Morgan's stuck in the Matrix currently. This is just,
or he's just holding his face in place really well.
So we'll get Matt back on. But, I loved the ending tonight. We haven't had one of those with the women. I'm trying to think. When's the last time they did sort of a little swerve right at the end involving the women like this?
I mean, I saw that coming.
Oh, of course. You know, no, we all saw it coming. It was like, KO and Sammy, but right. much more telegraphed.
Yeah, a lot quicker. I mean, it was cool to start a women's angle in the main event segment. I agree with Matt. I thought I didn't think it was amazing. I thought it was a good match. And I just thought it just wasn't the right time to just beat Sasha. She's your like top women's baby face. And you already buried Bayley. She's getting roundly booed and booed like she's Roman Reigns. And you're going to be doing that to Sasha too. So
yeah,
stupid. Unless they're turning Alexa babyface, which is kind of what it looked like tonight. Like Nia's the heel and Alexa is the babyface. So we'll see. But I guess that's going to be the match at No Mercy. Sorry, keep cutting you
off. No, it all makes no sense to me. I mean, Alexa is the embodiment of that, not an anti-hero, but the idea that she's someone that, you know, you like her and you're into her because she's just a great, her attitude towards the other wrestlers, that superiority. Like, I think it works for her, you know, putting other people down and whatnot. It's a great character. It's a fantastic character. And I turned a corner on her a while ago. I mean, even against Bayley, I was rooting for Alexa the last time.
Yeah, I mean, I think of, you know, the people they called up. You know, Carmella won Money in the Bank, but I don't think she's progressed near as much as Alexa has. And I think she's better, but Alexa is like a star. You know, she deserves her spot. Carmella, if she wins the women's title, you know, her and Ellsworth are entertaining, but she does not come across as the top star on that brand.
Carmella's going to win the women's title, so Charlotte can win the women's title. I feel like that's where it's headed.
They could be, unless Asuka.
Yeah. So we should. Has there been a podcast since that news broke? I don't think so. Has there?
I thought we talked about it last week. Or wait, did it happen after?
It happened after because they taped Full Sail on Wednesday or Thursday.
They taped it on Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have to talk about it. Let's see if we can. We'll talk about that. We'll
add that Matt tonight. Back from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh God, so much has happened. I feel like I'm gone. I'm there. I was at Podcast Movement in Anaheim and Bruce Pritchard was there. There was some other people from the wrestling world representing podcasters. And I can't remember the last time I kept looking at my phone, looking at Wrestling Inc., seeing all these headlines in my social feed. And I felt like I picked the wrong week to be off and not paying attention to it. So I got home and Saturday just sat down with the wife and we watched Raw, SmackDown, and even part of 205 Live to see Enzo's debut. And just catch up on things. So much happened this week, it felt like, both in and out of the ring.
Yeah.
So with those news stories in mind, so we'll talk about Asuka in a minute here. Did you watch – well, I'm sure Matt – I'm like, I want Matt's input on all of this. I want to know what Matt Morgan thinks about it. So, we're going to talk about Mayweather versus McGregor, Asuka, sexy star injuring Rosemary, and Matt has an announcement. Diversifying yet again. A couple weeks ago, he bought a nutrition company, and now he's venturing out further into his endeavors.
Yeah, he's staying busy, and it looks like he might be there. He is.
So sorry, guys, my battery died and gave me no warning.
Oh, no worries, man.
No problem.
So just quickly before we jump to it, what did you think about the end segment with Nia setting up Nia and Alexa for No Mercy?
Saw it coming from a mile away. She oversold her joy. I know it sounds stupid. She oversold it too much, way too much. They did a good job of trying to throw a little zag in there with her hitting the Vader splash in the corner on Sasha, just to further bury her. But nonetheless, I thought it was actually, I was kind of annoyed with the fans for chanting yes at that, actually, of her holding the title up, because I don't want her to come anywhere within a mile of those two.
Yeah. I just think WWE has done such a bad job with their baby faces, you know, the women baby faces, that the fans are turning to Nia and Alexa, you know, because Sasha's, you know, booked to look like crap.
But when the match happens, they're not going to cheer for her. They're not. She's boring.
No, they'll cheer for Alexa, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think this was Alexa babyface turn, maybe. No, she didn't cheat to win. She got the clean victory.
They need to be very careful because they got Sasha, same height, same type of. They're very similar in a lot of regards. They got to be very careful with this unless they bring Sasha to a different show.
Or they turn Sasha heel.
Or that, yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
Got tons of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so let's start with pivoting on the women's division. Asuka.
Real quick, ratings. Oh, how would you guys rank tonight's Raw?
Oh, yeah.
7.5.
Yeah, B plus.
I'd say it was a C show, except for Reigns and Cena and Lesnar, and that brought it to a B for me. And Alexa and Sasha was pretty good. So
that was a great match between those two.
So basically, an hour of the show was good, and the rest was just kind of filler.
Yeah, I thought it was enjoyable. Oh, definitely, definitely. But no, I thought it was, except for that Ambrose and Sheamus, Cesaro and Rollins thing that just went on way too long. If that had been shorter, I thought they had some good momentum tonight. And I love a battle royal. Look, anytime you put that in the mix, I'm always paying attention. So Asuka relinquished the women's title in NXT, setting her up for the main roster.
Yeah. Collarbone injury, out 6 to 8 weeks is what it's looking like. So she should be back by Survivor Series. I think she should go to SmackDown. You know, they left it open about where she's going to go. I think SmackDown would be a better fit for her.
Why do you say that?
Just because you see what they do with the women on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Charlotte. I mean, I thought the Charlotte-Sasha stuff was really well done. But I feel like they could use a spark on the SmackDown women's roster. It seems just kind of like it's just kind of treading water right now. What do you think, Matt?
I was going to say, you don't think Raw needs that spark?
Well, they got Alexa. At least Alexa is, keeping things interesting.
But like you said, baby faces, they have no baby faces. Not that they're not good enough, but they keep burying them all.
Yeah.
Mickie James is meaningless, which is ridiculous.
They're turning Sasha into meaningless, even though she had that title this morning.
Her title reign was meaningless.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I think SmackDown could be cool.
Yeah, having Asuka. Yeah, you might be right, Matt, because having Asuka in a 6-woman tag team match every week is not gonna. It's not the best way to use her. So, it remains to be seen how many women do we got on the Raw roster right now? Are they even? Because that'll kind of tip the hand where she's headed.
Yeah, 6 and 6, right?
Is it 6 and 6?
Oh, wow.
Maybe more on Raw. So we got Sasha, Bailey, Alexa, Mickey, Naya. Emma, Naya, and Dana. So, oh, and Alicia Foxy. Fox. Yeah, Alicia so Fox. We got eight on Raw and 6 on SmackDown.
So you got that right still? Charlotte, Naomi, Carmella, Natalia, Lana. Did I say Lana already?
Yeah, nope. Lana, Becky, Tamina.
No, you didn't say her.
So yeah, 7.
Maybe. I feel like we're forgetting one. I don't know.
Who are we forgetting, guys in the chat? If we're forgetting anyone, let us know. So that's 7.
Charlotte.
Oh
yeah.
Didn't I say Charlotte?
Did you?
Yeah. Anyway, who cares?
They'll catch it in the chat room.
But yeah. I think if they build up Charlotte enough, Charlotte versus Asuka is
that's
I
mean, money. That's,
yeah,
they don't
that's,
need to build her up. She's ready now.
Well, no. But I'm saying they need to put a belt on her. I think they need to make her like the – because they've actually toned her down. Don't you think they've kind of weakened her since they went to SmackDown? Because on Raw –
Charlotte?
She was – yeah. On 100%. Raw, she was the force. Yeah, on SmackDown –
She wasn't even booked on SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When she's in the ring, do you not see her as the best women's wrestler on both rosters?
Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I do.
Me too.
So, so Charlotte and Asuka, but I wouldn't give that away right away, which they might do. I would save that for Mania, you know?
No, know what they'll do? They'll have her cut a freaking 3-minute promo like they did poor Nakamura.
Yeah.
I think idiots. Asuka's English is better, though. But that's not her character, though.
Won't be her friend.
Yeah, but that's not her character. Her character, she's a woman of few words.
Yeah, good.
Those words creep
hopefully
you
they
out.
Keep that.
She needs to be a woman of less goofy faces.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
And her entrance is annoying.
Oh, but I can't wait till Vince gets his hands on that character.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll have to see.
He imitates everything he asks you to do, by the way. So that would be hilarious. Put the mask on and everything.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, he does everything that he asks of you first. He'll do it for, like, my stutter gimmick, he did it for, like, 10 minutes. Like, he does everything he asks of you.
You don't think Vince does Nakamura's hand gestures and stuff, though, do you?
Oh, I guarantee you he has. Yes, I guarantee you he has. Oh, that's awesome. Maybe he's changed now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Should we get to Sexy Star next or Mayweather McGregor?
Morgan running for commissioner.
Okay, you want to do that? Let's talk about you running for commissioner first.
Following in the politics, fine tradition of Jesse Ventura,
and Bob Backlund,
but Kane now throwing his hat in the ring. Kane. Rhino,
yeah, Donald Trump, Hall of Famer.
I'm running for Longwood City commissioner, and it's one of those deals where not to sound cheesy, but I want to be able to take my celebrity or take anything I've done, whether it's wrestling, American Gladiators, anything I've done to accrue any amount of level of fame, any amount, all right, whatever level you want to consider it, and draw attention and put a spotlight on some issues that I've seen going on in my city that need to be addressed and are just not by the incumbent, Mark Weller. And it's one of those deals where if it was up to me, I wouldn't run because I'd want to see whoever's in position doing what needs to be done. So this is a case of things not being done that need to get done. And I'm a doer, not a talker. I'm not a crap talker that just talks and hates from the sideline. I'm a guy that gets in and rolls his sleeves up and does things about it. And this is no different. I want to make a city for my son to be proud of that he grows up in. And one day down the line, maybe he wants to raise his family here. That's my own little, white picket fence dream, for my son. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. But I want to make where he grows up in an environment where he'll have that option because of how much he loves where he's from.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah. Someone's mentioning Booker T running for mayor as well of Houston. So Matt, what would you say is your biggest issue? What your number one?
Police force, Longwood City Police. Get this. Longwood, Florida is the fourth safest city in the whole state of Florida. I was flabbergasted by the statistic in a positive way. But what happened is what's going on right now. The issue that I have is that there is six unoccupied positions for police officers on the force, meaning they can't find six people to fill these spots. Wow. In the late 90s, I actually wanted to be a police officer, believe it or not. And there was a waiting list out the wazoo to become one where I was from up north. And, I was just shocked at that. And in my opinion, it's definitely the pay. How do you reward these women and men that have protected us and made us the fourth safest city in all of the state of Florida by not getting them the things they need to be able to get these people, recruit them properly, and more importantly, make it attractive enough financially? That's what it comes down to. It's always going to be finances. Instead of lessening their pay, which they did 2 years ago when my incumbent was in position of power, you need to be giving them a raise and rewarding them for protecting us and making us the fourth safest city in all of Florida. You don't do the opposite. You don't take away from people like that. You give them more. And that's definitely my number one issue as of right now. And the more I get out and talk and campaign, I'm going to learn more about some other issues, I'm sure, along the way as well, that I may feel just as passionate about. But right now, that's my number one.
Yeah. We'll be talking more about it. Is this the election in November then coming?
No, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you, Raj. November 17th, it's a nonpartisan election, meaning it's not in your normal election cycle of every 4 years. It's me versus Mark Weller, who's the incumbent. And
So there's no party affiliations or anything like that?
I have no party affiliate. I myself don't. He's a Republican. And it's November 17th. So anybody that watches this, many of you that see me in the Publix and stuff like that here in Longwood and come up and say you're a fan of the show and you watch me here, please, I need to count on every single one of your votes.
You're gonna cut some promos against your opponent on the internet?
Here's the way I see it. If you're number one, you don't need to talk about number two,
It's true.
All right. Well, we'll definitely be talking more about that.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. And making a difference. So, best of luck to you.
Very cool.
Definitely talk about that. Real quick, let's talk a little bit about what happened with Sexy Star this past weekend. Saturday night, AAA, Triple Mania 25. Sexy Star was in a match with Rosemary and a couple other women. I'm forgetting the names right now. Sexy Star wins the match, puts Rosemary in an arm bar. And she was involved. Hold on. Let me get the woman's name. She was Lady Shani and Sexy Star were kind of shooting during the match. I guess Lady Shani was is friends with Taya, was upset with the whole situation with Taya, and Sexy Star started shooting on her during the match. Sexy Star is claiming that she, you know, got kind of riled up, thought that everyone was kind of against her in the match. At the end, she beat Rosemary with an armbar, put it on legitimately injured her, popped her arm out of place. Yeah, Sexy Star, you know, left the arena. Vampiro brought her back. She apologized to Rosemary and left again quickly. You know, Rosemary issued a statement saying, I guess Sexy Star started telling people it was a work. Rosemary issued a statement saying it was not a work at all.
Good.
That she wanted to break Sexy Star's face, but couldn't because she doesn't want to, you know, go to jail in Mexico. She was
good
being smart
you,
about
Rosemary.
It. Yeah, so a lot of people lashing out. Cody Rhodes saying that, you know, she'll never be in a locker room that he's in.
Good, Cody.
No one defending Sexy Star in this situation. Matt, have you ever seen – I mean, sure, you see people give receipts and stuff.
During, yes.
But ever see someone try to legitimately injure someone?
I've seen veterans when they come down to OVW, not many, but a few, and I'm not going to mention the names, that when we would chain wrestle and things like that, here you're giving them your body. They'd give you a headlock takeover, and they'd start wrenching in around your neck a little bit, you know, too tight, trying to make you lose some oxygen, and doing the whole, oh, I'm testing them out, you know, bull crap. You know, I just have no respect for it whatsoever. I think you're the world's biggest puss. If in a worked environment where I'm giving you, or in this case, Rosemary is giving you a body part and trusting you with it and did nothing to cause this, and you go ahead and you take advantage of it and try to injure them, I don't get the logic in that. You're not tough because of that. That's for sure. You're the opposite of tough. Okay. I just have no respect for it whatsoever. And it's a very, very dirty thing. And if that ever happened to me, I swear I'd break the person's, like Rosemary said, you know, I'd shatter somebody's orbital socket over. I really would. I wouldn't be able to control myself because of the respect you're supposed to give one another in that ring.
Yeah. And Sexy Star losing bookings already. Russell Cade pulled her from their November event.
Good.
So, yeah, it's going to cost her in the pocketbook. So hopefully that's a lesson. Really? I mean, you'd hear about people in the past. You know, Bob Holly was, you know, notorious for it back in the day. People that where it's public. I'm not going to say other people that where it's more
no,
private,
it's very but, public about Bob. You're right.
Yeah, but yeah, it's too bad. So we'll see. We'll see if Triple A takes action and does anything because she's the champion over there.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. But one of the major stories dominating. What do you think about Mayweather versus McGregor? Did you guys watch the fight?
Heck yeah. Who didn't?
Yeah. That was fun. That was
really
a
was.
Fun fight.
Conor McGregor did his thing. You can say whatever you want about the guy. I went into it rooting for him, hoping he'd win, but did not think it would happen. Thought Mayweather would beat him pretty quickly, actually, within three rounds, I figured. So the fact that McGregor, you know, landed 111 shots, landed more than Manny Pacquiao did, I was just, this is awesome. You know what I mean? I think he did a world of service for MMA and the UFC. I don't care how long Mayweather took off for, he was still in great shape and quick as hell, and a boxer, no less, more importantly. It's like me, okay, because I'm a pro wrestler, or let's say I have a basketball background, a football background, and I'm asked to go to Yankee Stadium and go hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, from the Yankees pitcher and hit a home run. You know what I mean? No one would expect that of me because that's not my sport.
Right.
You know, it's like Conor was asked to go in there and fight with 25% of his abilities, if that much. You know, probably like 15% of his abilities with just punching. And he did his thing. I think he did everybody very proud.
I thought he did not embarrass himself at all, like I was worried would happen. I thought, you know, Conor, I had Conor winning four rounds, but a lot of that was by design by Mayweather.
He says afterwards, but
No. I mean, you could see he wasn't trying to throw any punches in the beginning. He was definitely trying to, like, you know, trying to tire him out, which he did. I mean, you know, it was a brilliant strategy. I mean, he tired him out and then just went to town. And but yeah, I mean, Conor had, you know,
can't ignore
great
the
coming out of it. He's 0-0, and you know, like
you're
you said.
You're not impressed that he had more punches than Pacquiao did?
I think Mayweather wasn't as afraid of Conor's punches. And so I think he was allowing a lot more. With Pacquiao, he was doing way more running. where with McGregor, he wasn't. So, you know, that, which was why he got so many more punches landed.
Whether you're running or not, you're still bobbing and weaving and moving. And if Conor couldn't throw a punch, those wouldn't connect.
Well, Mayweather
he was
clearly was not fazed by his punches. Whereas with Pacquiao, he was very concerned. So, I mean, you watch the two fights. You see Mayweather's very different in the Pacquiao fight. He's not, you know, in the pocket with Pacquiao hardly at all. He's like, you know, dodging the whole fight. Whereas with McGregor, he was in the pocket most of the time.
Those first four rounds, he was a very different fighter, I thought.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he was on his bike.
Yeah, to me, it just seemed like Mayweather was just biding his time, waiting for him to get tired. And when it happened, he just took over. But, you know, I'm not a boxer, so. You
know. Again, being like literally being asked to have a fight with a one arm tie behind your back. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
it shows what kind of athlete he is. It was a great showing for the UFC. I thought it really, really was at the end of the day. And again, you're not using all your abilities. Your natural reaction is to kick and take down and tap, you know, and do all these different things that he can do, you know, especially when you're getting beat up. You don't have time to think. You react. The fact he was able to control that, you know, he had a couple of things, you know, the times when he'd tie him up and do a couple of trips or things like that here and there, but not to kick him. Like, I was really impressed by that. I thought it would happen when he was starting to get knocked out. I thought for sure he would just react.
Well, I was worried that he was going to get disqualified there for a little bit because he kept hitting him in the back of the head.
I hate Mayweather, so I liked it. I just hate Mayweather. I don't like him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a really fun fight. It felt like you were watching history, I felt like. And
that's why I explained to my friends. I have friends that are not sports fans, and mm-hmm. I waited to my other friend's house. So it was a huge party for this, right? Yeah. And I was telling them, like, you want to bring your kids to this. I know it's going to be late, but you're going to want to bring the boys because – this is going to be something that maybe I'm over exaggerating, but this feels like something that's going to be like in the sports history books, yeah. You know, as far as like, where were you when this happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So fun stuff, man. Yeah. I no regrets ordering that fight at all.
How much was it again? 110?
$100. Yeah.
Ooh.
And
I thought that was worth it.
So I had ordered it ahead of time because, you know, all the problems with the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. So I ordered it on UFC Fight Pass because I cord cut. I just use Sling TV and PlayStation View now.
Same here.
Yeah. And so I ordered it through UFC Fight Pass, and then their freaking service goes down.
Happened out in Florida. Comes up.
And still haven't gotten the refund from them. You know.
Wow.
They better give it. But I had to end up ordering it through PlayStation, and it worked. There were a couple times when it lagged a little, but
Would you? I know nobody cares about this. I apologize for people in the chat room and people watching. But what did you think of the undercard? Because I thought it was a cool story about Mayweather's younger guys from his camp, especially that 20-year-old. He's a champion. He's like the youngest world champion right now. He's like 20 years old. God, what's his name? There were two of the three fights beforehand. Both of those guys were his guys from his camp, and they're going to be studs.
Yeah, my thing with boxing is there's so many titles and that just it's hard to keep track of who's who.
Could you even name them? I can't.
I can't name one.
I can't either. WBC heavyweight champion. I think I just made that up. I don't even know if that's real.
I think that's sounds a real thing. Klitschko brothers, maybe.
you know what's crazy? Back in the I'm showing my age here, but back when Mike Tyson was on his rise, let me just tell you guys: outside of recess at the playground, there was no hotter topic amongst kids running around than Iron Mike fighting that Friday night.
Yeah.
Or Saturday night, the next night. Dude, it's all people would talk about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you get a heavyweight like that today.
That's it. Brother, that's it. It's a heavyweight. You're exactly right. Yeah. I was going to say. Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have that. And you know, if Mayweather's retiring, they just did their biggest fight of all time, likely. Otherwise, it's probably at worst, it's second behind the Pacquiao fight. I think it's probably going to be bigger because interest the day of was just insane.
You think Pacquiao and them did more buys?
Well, it did 4.5 million, so that was a really high mark.
This will beat it, dude. Come on.
This was
on a whole different level of interest.
I could see it.
And I've been waiting Pacquiao to knock his little ass out for years. So I love Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I still say he got screwed over in that fight too. And by the way, Pacquiao would have annihilated him in his prime.
Yeah.
5 years too late.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Nope. Yep. What else? Anything else we didn't cover?
Topic? No?
Nah, I think. Did we run the gamut? Anything else?
We talked about Sexy Star.
We talked about Sexy Star. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. So, Matt, what do you want to plug this week? You've got all this stuff going on.
I know, man. Let's see. I can't believe I can't think of it. Obviously, to the citizens of Longwood City that actually live here and watch the show, obviously, guys, please, I encourage you. It's a nonpartisan election on November 17th, which means you're probably not going to hear much about it other than me and my opponent campaigning, obviously, through your neighborhoods. Please circle it on your calendar, November 17th. Please come and vote, either me or my opponent for that matter. But please leave. I know it sounds corny, but make your voice heard, because this city is a great city. I love it to death. I'm proud to be from here. And we need to do a lot of work to get it to where it needs to be. And I'm your guy for it.
Awesome, man. So BP Matt Morgan on the Twitter, on the Instagram, doing the live video still.
I get big the politician. That's time. What the BP should yeah. stand for now.
Yeah.
The big politician. That's good.
I was going to say, you should go out campaigning. Do you still have the gladiator suit? The American gladiators?
Yes, the furry diaper. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Chewbacca's diaper. Yeah.
It's all about turnout, man. It's all about turnout. Cool, man. Raj, I feel like on the site, just trends are going to keep coming. So much more
stuff. We've got interviews with Robbie E. Sean Waltman's going to be on the podcast this Wednesday. Gosh, just tons of stuff, man. So just keep checking it out.
Cool. So everyone, until next time, I'm actually going to miss the next three podcasts. I'll be back 2 weeks from tonight. But until next time, folks, on behalf of myself, Mr. Matt Morgan and Mr. Raj Giri, I'm Glenn Rubenstein. We'll see you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Shooters Tour.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.